This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Lord of all the worlds, to whom we belong, to whom is our return, and may His choicest blessings go to the highest of Allah's creation, our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most generous in companionship, the most gentle in speech, indeed the most eloquent ambassador for humanity at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. See, that's the beginning of communication. You know? I want to just say this to you. In my experience as a speaker, as a person involved with counseling, one of the recurring themes in many of our homes is either someone speaks too much or someone doesn't speak at all. And when we do speak, it ends up into an argument. And this is quite frightening. And we need to look at why this happens. You ask this question, do you and your husband have a conversation? The husband might say, we don't have a conversation, it's an interrogation. And it's very, very sad. If you want your children to grow up, to understand the power of words, and even the power of silence, you're teaching them a great many lessons. When to speak and when to be quiet. What to say and when to say it. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a gift to humanity. He is a mercy unto all mankind. If you look at his life, something that you and I are acutely aware of, the way he spoke to his children, his grandchildren, his spouses. He looked at them. This is the beginning, you see. He looked at them with the eye of love. Now it's an important thing to look at your husband or wife with the eye of love. How many of you are here with your spouses? You are here with your spouse? How many of you are sitting next to your spouse? Right? I want to see whether you can look at her with the eye of love. Look at her. Shame, she's blushing. She might die of shock. She might die of shock. And I mean this. I mean this. And we need to look at what we need to do differently. Many people come to the homes, they're like boarders. You know, it's convenient, they're staying under the same roof and it's over. Now we need to understand this. Understand the dynamics of communication. Understand the reason why we communicate. And the most important thing, there's something I always recommend to everyone, is that you have to be present, if you know what I mean. You have to be present. I mean present, I don't only mean physically, I mean also emotionally. When our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke to someone, he turned his whole person to that individual. When he shook that person's hand, he was the last person to remove it. He never interrupted someone whilst the person spoke. And what message was he giving him or her? What message? You are important. I care for you. You are a person of value. I'm affirming you. You know, when we say, and this metaphor, sometimes we need to understand it comprehensively. When you speak about, we are garments unto each other. What a powerful, powerful metaphor. You can spend the whole day discussing that particular metaphor. You understand? Understand it. And I say to people, I say to everyone, I do not mind if the whole world stops talking to me. I don't mind, it's okay. I can deal with that. But if I have an issue at home, that to me is of far greater importance. The home can only become a sanctuary, a place that you want to go to when you have people that you love and people who love you. And this is an important thing. The first 3 years of marriage are the most critical 3 years in any person's life. It's a foundation where you get to know your partner. What is it that makes him laugh, makes him cry, makes her laugh? What are her sensitivities? Why is he who he is? Why? You understand? Reciprocal understanding. But the tragedy is, we want to be understood, but we do not spend time trying to understand the other. And we must try to look at ourselves through the eyeballs of the other. And the reality is that in a marital life, you are going to get hurt. How do you communicate that hurt? And if you have been the perpetrator of the hurt, how do you apologize? What do you say? You understand? These are important things. And there comes a time in your life, and this is a beautiful time, where you could be next to each other without saying anything to each other. But you are saying that I care for you, you know? I love you. I'm here with you, baby. I like it. You understand? It's beautiful. Hey, when there is this tacit understanding. But sometimes you forget that the expression of that community, expression of that love is fundamental. It is very, very critical. You understand? So let's look at it from the very beginning. And I want to share with you some very practical tips. Very practical tips. Okay? Say I'm at home. I'm busy, say, doing some work. My beloved wife takes a few moments and she leaves me a cup of coffee. I can, maybe I do not acknowledge her, I may be silent. That's one way. The second way, it's even more negative. And when you say to her, I don't know why you made me this coffee. Right? Okay? You can imagine how this impacts on the person, how it impacts on your life, on your marital life. And sometimes we hurt our spouses every day of our lives. We demonize them. We humiliate them in public and in private. And we feel nothing. We feel nothing. The third way is a better way, is when you encourage a communication. We tell her, my darling, so thoughtful of you to bring this coffee. Allah bless you. I'm blessed to have you. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. It's very, very critical. It's critical for us to understand that sometimes your silence can be hurtful. Sometimes your speech can be hurtful. Sometimes the timing can be also hurtful. It's very, very important. It's very, very critical how you manage this. the dynamics of relationships. Then you get instances that you know that a particular topic is problematic, that my wife and I have divergent viewpoints, completely opposite, and it often leads to a heated argument, but you constantly have the same argument. You are an idiot. What you are? An idiot. I'll never tell that to my wife. I never use those words. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you got to be conscious. You see what happens to us? We are very preoccupied. We arrogate to us, ourselves, as if we are the most important person in the world. And my wife is blessed. My Shushi Babalina, doll. You're blessed to marry me, doll. You understand? Right? You come home. Well, I worked so hard to feed you, to clothe you, to look after you. You respect me, baby. You understand? Therefore, it's important to have a reciprocal understanding. Therefore, in the first 3 years of marriage, clear out your expectations. Ask the question, are you an affectionate person? How would you like me to show you affection? If you and I have a disagreement, how would you like me to deal with it? If I have been a cause of hurt to you, you know, what would you like me to do? You understand? Sometimes we assume that we know these things. Now, every person is unique. What might work in one home may not work in another home. I saw an interesting video clip the other day. It says, generally, if you ask the sisters, what kind of man make you happy? And he says that when the woman shared those descriptors, then that person says to them, you're not looking for a man, you're looking for a woman. Right? Because they say, I want a man who is nurturing, who is caring, who is loving. You understand? I'm not saying we cannot be like that. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that. It's something that we can learn. But what you got to understand, we do not see the world as it is, but as we are. We are products of life experiences. No one is born to make another person unhappy. No one says, okay, let me see how I can make my wife's life miserable today. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of them do not know. Some of them do not know. Right? So what do we need to do? How can we create a culture of understanding? You know how we can create it? That every time there is an issue that needs to be resolved, resolve it. Focus on the issue. You still love the person, but you tell the person, you know, I have an issue. I misunderstood you. Do not be judgmental. This is what happened today. I'm not too sure whether you are aware of what you said. You said this. You understand? Be open. Do not come there in a judgmental way. Do not come there in a harsh way. Do not come there like you're having an argument. I mean, people get a shock of their life when I tell them that it's very seldom I'm married for 35 years. I'm happily married and my wife is also happily married to me, hopefully. Right? I'm married for 35 years and in those 35 years, I can't even remember, if I ever had, if I was upset about something, and do you know how I convey that I'm upset? How? I don't say I'm angry with you. I'm fed up with you. No. I would tell her like this. I tell her, darling, I'm angry. I mean it. Why should I shout my anger? Why should I scream my anger? Why should I scream my anger? Therefore, you know, when our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is very important, very critical also. When he said that believers are mirrors unto each other, it's such a powerful metaphor. Right? A mirror doesn't come to you, you go to the mirror. The mirror has no memory, right? When you are, for example, I often use this analogy, if you are there with a white soap in front of the mirror, if there is a speck of dust or mark on this part, the mirror would first recognize the purity of the rest of the white, will tell you, oh my gosh, what a beautiful dress you've got. It's so nice. Maybe you did not notice there's a little mark on this side. Eh? You recognize the goodness. Eh? And the mirror doesn't diminish it or amplify that particular mark. Doesn't exaggerate it. Right? There are so many lessons to be learned from that. So many beautiful lessons to be learned from that. That we do not say enough words of love, of complimentary things to each other. We, in Islam, you know, we should recognize the effort, right? Not the outcome, the intention, which is fundamental. When last, for example, you have praised your spouse for something they have done, for a dish they might have cooked, or something that you have done as a husband. When last have you done that? When last have you sat down and had an authentic conversation? An authentic conversation. A genuine conversation. Because you know what happens to us? Because of the frenetic lifestyle that we lead, our minds are preoccupied. At any given time, you speak to someone, the mind is thinking of something else. You understand? So instead of responding, we react. There is no empathy. And I remember the last time I shared this with you, right? And I'll share it again. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. When he was with you, he spoke to you, he gave his total self to you. The time of salah, 100% to the salah. When he ate the food, 100% conscious and thankful to Allah. Not like us. Our minds are preoccupied. When we read our salah, we don't know if it's the first rakah or the fourth rakah. You don't know where you are. That the issue of sakina is not there. You don't feel the comfort of salah. Right? So if you can do this, and I remember whenever I practice this, I feel authentic. And I'd like you to do this. You're going to practice it here. Either with your spouse next to you. If you're sitting alone, you can do it with your split personality. Not an issue. And I hope you have a sense of humor. I hope in your homes, you have a sense of humor. You do? Eh? Right? Okay. I think you need therapy here. Sorry, you need therapy here. Right. Now, I'll give you this example. Do you think, my question to you, when you genuinely listen to someone, your body language, you move towards that person, you listen with intent, do you think that person feels it? They do feel it. And if we can do that, I promise you, every moment you spend with your spouse will be a beautiful moment of warmth, of love, of affection. I care for you. I'm the eldest, you know, and I have five other brothers and a sister. And my mom and dad passed away, may Allah grant them the high status in Jannah. May Allah grant our parents this Jannah. May you and your spouse die with Iman. Inshallah. I recall, I went to see my younger brother, who is a Imam in a small town called Poshepsin. It's about 1 hour, 10 minutes from Durban. So anyway, I said, you know, I hug the people I love, my brothers and all that. And I said, you know, I lifted my hand. I said, Ya Allah, today, when I meet my brother, I want it to be unlike any other meeting. Unlike any other meeting. I want to penetrate his heart. I want him to know that I love him. I care for him. You know, how often you ask the question sometimes to your spouse, how was your day? You don't listen to the answer. Like, it's become mechanical, you know. You know, like you find, like when you are in the UK, they say, jolly good day today, you know. Lovely day. Yes, of course it is a lovely day, you know. Right? And it's very like pleasantry, you know, talking about the weather. So anyway, I went there. I went to the office. I gave my brother a hug. And please listen to me attentively because I'm going to make you do it here. Right? I gave my brother a hug. I sat opposite him. And I was 100% focused on him. 100% focused on him. After 2 minutes, he started crying. He gave me a hug. He said to me, Idris, my brother, of all the years you and I spoke, nothing touched me more than what happened now. What did you do differently? Let me tell you what I did differently. I first sought Allah's guidance. And when I was sitting behind the desk, I looked him in the eye. I said, Assalamu alaikum, Imran. How are you, my beloved brother? And I was waiting for his answer. I said, Allah forbid, if he was in pain, if he doesn't share it with me. He said to me, Idris, I'm very well. Asked him, how is the family? How is the wife? How are your kids? Right? Just a few questions. He got up and he gave me a hug. Because it was authentic. You know what I'm saying to you? We must learn communication has to be authentic. It has to be from the heart. It has to be clear. It's fundamental. Right? Because in the end, society would forget you. But with your family, they leave an indelible impression. They know you better than anyone else. Allah forbid, the day you die, where the family asks you, you all are waxing lyrical about my father and my mother. Tell me about them. I do not know them. I do not know them. I do not know the person you're talking about. And I say the crucible or the acid test is about how you are at home. What you communicate. What do you say? Are you present? Do you acknowledge? Are you thankful for the food you get? Do you express your love? Do you ask questions with the intention of listening? So I want to recommend 3 things that I feel you should do. Right? 3 things. Number one, you and your spouse need to develop a family routine. Together. A family routine. Right? And in that routine, it'll also be me time. In that routine, where you give yourself space away from the kids, uninterrupted, half an hour of conversation, where you share your day, where you share your anxiety. Would it not be tragic that you cannot share your anxiety with the person that's supposed to be your pillar? The institution of marriage transcends life. It goes beyond life. It goes beyond life. And I tell you this, you know, for me, there are days you and I know that our days are going to be tough. They're going to be challenging. Because of the nature of my work I do, helping people with the problems, some days are tougher than other days. Some days I see more people than I should. So I come home with a heavy chest. Very heavy chest. What do I want? I want someone to be supportive of me. I just need to tell my beloved wife, darling, my baby, my shushu babalina, I call her shushu babalina, my doll hazard, doll hazard. You'll do that to your spouses? Try to your wife. Don't do it now. Do it. I like it. Right? And I just have to tell her, baby, I had a tough day. It is so comforting. She holds me. She says, you know, I'm here. I know the work you do. I support you. Be okay. Is there anything you want to talk to me about? I feel relieved, isn't it? I feel relieved. Why do you think today companies are doing parenting and marriage programs? Because they realize when the people got peace at home, they can unleash the potential. Sit together and develop a routine, right? And a part of the routine is this, where you ask the question, how was your day? How was your day? Ask the question, right? Ask the question. You see, men and women are different, right? On average, the studies have shown a man speaks 12,500 words a day. A woman, my beloved sister, 25,000 words a day. Right? A man will go for work overseas, he'll come back, his wife will ask him, hello darling, assalamu alaikum, how was your day? How was your 1 week trip? Alhamdulillah. Right? But you ask the wife, how was your day? 25,000 words are coming, brother. Right? And you need to understand, for her, for the woman, it is romantic that her husband listens to her without interruption. Now, we are trying to look for a structure. Where is she going with this? We want to find a solution to it. You know what I mean? Am I right or wrong, sisters? Yes. Don't be shy. Yeah. Tell your husband yes, right? Right. Okay. I say, now I know. Right? Right. So what happens is this, but on the other extreme, men are like this. They go out, they have a frenetic day, they come back, they want peace and quiet. Don't speak to nobody. Kids must be off to sleep. I don't want to know about them. Right? So this idea of routine is important. And you should get your children to be part of this routine. They say a family that eats together, plays together, prays together, stays together. You know, sometimes it is so hurtful. I mean it. So hurtful. She says, you know, some woman tell me that I got to second guess what my husband is thinking. He comes home. We don't talk at all. I have no idea how was his day. You know, whether he enjoys the food or not. I just got to guess. I mean, it's tragic. It's tragic. I know of people, for example, who go on a holiday with their spouses. They may be in a car driving for 500 miles or whatever it is, but they don't speak to each other. You understand? They don't speak to each other. Right? I'm not saying you got to speak throughout now. You know what I mean? Right? Right? You must know when to keep quiet also. Right? You understand what I'm saying to you? So it's a very important thing about communication. And part of the communication is this. It is through speech you can inspire your partner. It is through your speech and through your conduct you can heal your partner. You can forgive your partner. And forgiveness is a very important thing. That you're going to get hurt, it's going to happen. Forgiveness is important. You know, one of the ironies is this. You know, we all search for Laylatul Qadr, right? We lift up our hands, say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Yet in our own hearts of hearts, there are people that have hurt you, you don't want to forgive. You know, words of forgiveness, words of encouragement, words of support. This is what you want to hear. I tell my beloved wife, my shusha babalina, I tell her, darling, in public you must praise me. When people say good things about me, you must say, I'm blessed. What a man. And I say, at home, you can chastise me. It's okay. But in public, you must say, what a man. Because sadly, we make our issues into public areas. You understand? We say those things. We demean people. So the whole issue of routine is very, very important. Very, very critical. The second thing that is also important part of communication is this. It is said sometimes that people are married for many years. And then in the twilight years of their life, one of them might say, you know, we are married for 45 years, 50 years. It's a pity my husband doesn't know what I like. He's never asked me. And then you regret, perhaps I should have told him. You understand? These are important things. Is getting to know the uniqueness of the other. Is how? Through speech, through listening, and through observation. It's fundamental. And I can tell you something. If you got that, it's an antidote with all the things that are going around in the world. It's a very powerful thing. And when you're coming home, prepare psychologically for the home. Leave your work behind. And then the wife must say, I want to start off with positive words. The first 4 seconds, look at how speech is. The first 4 seconds when you get to the house, the home, is the most important 4 seconds. First 4 seconds. And I recommend when you walk into the home, right? Phone, say, darling, I'm 2 minutes away, right? And you await your spouse. If you're coming together, it's another matter. And as your spouse comes in, give him a hug at the door, a nice hug. Let your children see that. Let your children see that. Because you're teaching them about the institution of marriage. You're teaching them about how to express your love. Was our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam romantic or not? Well, in fact, I mentioned the last time, I'm planning to write a book on that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the romantic prophet. He was very romantic. Very, very romantic. Right? Now, there are many lessons. We'll talk about that in a moment. So what I'm saying to you, those 4 seconds, where the wife must say, I don't want to say anything negative when I meet with him. There's a time and place for it. I want to meet him with love. The husband must say, when I come home, I want to meet her with love. If that doesn't happen, the rest of the evening is finished. Right or wrong? That's true, right? Right. The next important thing, right? We spoke about a routine. The next thing I would like you all to do is to develop what I call core values. What are our values? What are our unique values? You can say our unique values are the following, for example. There are many. You can decide what you want. Our values are that we treat everyone with dignity, from the smallest to the eldest. Secondly, that when we get visitors, we are warm and hospitable to them. So those kind of values that you understand, that you decide, these are our values. That at any time, no matter what happens, this is our value. We must be honest. No matter what it is. If you're honest, then at least we can forgive, we can heal. It's very, very critical, right? I remember reading a book, and in this book, one of the values of the family was the following. It was that no matter what happens, we must be honest. I think, anyway, I'll mention the story again. There was this boy, about 19-year-old son. His mom and dad had gone out, so he decided to take his father's car. He met up with a serious accident. The car was badly damaged. He came home. He parked the car off. So when his father came, he asked him, hey, son, what happened to the car? He realized at that time that value struck him because they all lived by that value. He says, Daddy, I did it, Daddy. I took the car, I did it. So the father wanted to teach him consequences of behavior. There has to be accountability. There has to be consequences. So the father said to him, did you report it to the police station? He said, no. I'm afraid because I don't have my license. He said, no, I want you to report it. The son went, reported it and he had to spend a night in prison and whatever happened. He says, my son never forgot that lesson. So you decide on values. The reason why I'm sharing this, otherwise our families or whatever, we are just biologically connected. We're connected through marriage. We're like parallel trains going past each other every day with no communication. Nothing, right? Eating time is meeting time. It's an opportunity, especially for the man of the house, to affirm the wife, to communicate his love in front of the kids. Say, aren't you blessed for the mummy Allah has given you? Do you thank mummy for the food today? Teaching them social etiquette around the table. That's part of communication. This is what makes us different. Our manners, our etiquette, the way we treat people, right? So you discuss all of that. You affirm, right? So the value is one thing. Then the other thing, which is also important, requires a little more time, is developing family goals. Now, family goals, for example, where do you see yourself? Where do we see ourselves in 5 years' time? In 10 years' time? Then within the goals, there are personal goals. Like, for example, health goals, spiritual goals, cognitive goals, emotional goals. And then you help each other to develop this. The reason why I'm sharing that part with you very quickly, right, is the following. Let me know when time's up, right, brother? Excuse me? Let me know when time's up. Hey? Fine. Okay, I'm just warming up, you know. Yeah. I don't have a watch here. You know? I normally live by the calendar, you know what I mean? Okay, right. And it's raining, so it's okay, right? Right. You want me to go on longer?
Yes.
Right, okay. Say please. Oh, thank you. You're so kind. Right. So anyway, now, this is very, very important. Very critical. There's a friend of mine, may Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah. On Eid day, he passed away. He was at his cousin's place. He's a dear friend of mine. And he told the woman of the house, could I go up to the bathroom and just make ablution or to read my asr prayers? And they found that there was, he was a bit delayed. When they got there, he was dead on the floor, right? So I went to his home. What did I see? His beloved mother, who is in the 80s, late 80s, uncontrollable tears. I meet the wife, whom I know, uncontrollable tears. Because their son saw me like a father figure, they all hugged me for comfort. One story. He's a doctor. They learned that the father, there were some patients, he never charged them because they could not afford it. He charged them according to what they could afford. They are also crying for him. The people, the mosque where he is involved, they're all crying for him. The neighbors are crying for him. So he has attained success. So we got to, and it's very important, part of our communication is to, you should be a visionary to inspire your family, to have a vision, to understand the overall objective why we are here. The Quran is clear, save yourself and your family from the fire of hell. You can have all the material things in the world. If you do not attain Jannah, you attain nothing. Am I right or wrong? You can have all the pain in the world. You attain Jannah, the pain is nothing. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it's very, very important, very, very critical to understand how do you define success. Now you define success. You see, people may forget what you told them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. People's feelings are sacred. They're important. They're important, you know. They're important. When you think of others, Allah will think about you. No one left Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam empty-handed. Nobody. If you could not help, he pointed them the way. Look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never wanted to hurt anyone. You know the story that I always like to mention, the story about the grapes. Right? That one person came to give Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grapes. There were Sahaba there. He took one bite of the grape. He ate one grape. Then the second, until he finished the whole bunch. The Sahaba were shocked. He's so unlike him. His habit is to share with everyone. And that person went away. Then he said to them, you know, I don't know whether the question was asked. He said, when I took the first grape, it was sour. I was afraid. Look at him. I was afraid that if I gave it to you, you might have shown your displeasure and you'd have hurt that man. Feelings are important. They're critical. We must think before we act. We are going to make mistakes. You can keep on making mistakes. Allah will forgive us. But we are human too, you know? We are human. We are human. And it's very, very important, very, very critical that we understand that. We understand that. The idea is this. Ask yourself every day, if I die today, what impression did I leave? You know the question people often ask this question when you lose your loved one. They often ask this question, what was his parting words to you? Was there any sign, any indication? No, people ask, don't they? Yes or no? Don't people ask this? Right? Right. Now let me tell you, my wife and I practice a ritual. Right? The ritual is the following. Right? I stay in about 48 apartments, 12 in each floor. And with your car, you drive to your apartment. Okay? And when I'm leaving in the morning, my wife will stand at the door and I'll blow kisses at her. In a romantic way. You know what I mean? You notice I've got the style, right? I just turn my head. And as I'm driving, I'll look back. Right? My wife is a bit shy. You know what I mean? But she throws her kisses also at me. Right? Right? Then I'll come out. I'll get to the road. She'll always ask me where I'm going today. If I'm going on that area, she won't stand. If I'm going this area, she'll stand in the veranda. She'll stand in the corner. And then I'll hoot at her. I'll blow kisses at her. Now, all the women are standing in the veranda now. And I told them, no, no, not for you. It's only for my wife. Right? And my mother-in-law is staying there. He says, yes, he's right. It's only for my daughter. Right? So we do that. You know what I'm saying to you? We do that. You understand? So it's very, very important, right? Very, very important for you to understand that. Very, very important for you to learn, you know, to the art of listening. Say, today I'm going to listen. I'm not going to butt in. I'm not going to complete the sentences. I will not be selective. I will not only listen to the words, but I'll also listen to the emotions of those words. What emotion is she going through? Because whether we like it or not, at any given time, we are going through some emotions. It is these emotions that inform our values. It is these emotions that informs what we say and how we go about saying it. You understand? Okay. So what I want you to do now, right? Put your hands up, those of you who are next to your spouse. You're next to your spouse? Right? Okay. Right? Okay. Right? Okay. Now, so what I want you to do, right? I see you're getting nervous, sweating, brother. Right? Okay. Right? This is what I want you to do. I want you to practice, right? If you're not next to your spouse, right? Whoever is next to is I want you to say something to her, right? And I want you to say it, and I would like you, this is a challenge, because we don't do it, you see? I want you to say it from your heart. From your heart. Right? From your heart. She would listen to you. Right? She would respond to you. Then she'll say something and you also listen from your heart. Can you do that? Eh? Eh? Some of you are ready to go home now. He says, it's too much, this man. Look at this guy, he's crazy. No, no, I mean it. I'll tell you what happened, right? I remember I tried this out in the place called Rustenburg. There's a place in South Africa, Rustenburg, right? And they were this two sisters, they are identical twins. And you know what? The way they broke down and hugged each other, you know? They said it's the first time they really felt love for each other. You know? Because in the end, my friends, we mean well, you know? We often say, but tomorrow I'm going to do this. For a believer, the only time is now. The only time is now. It's not tomorrow. Seek Allah's forgiveness now. change now, love now, forgive now, care now. That's it. That's it. The past is gone. Don't live in the past. Don't be anxious about the future. Be present now. Be present. Be present. Be present. You know why there is so much of depression everywhere? Because we cannot be present. We cannot be present. We're not present in our salah. We're not present in the food we eat. We're not present in the way we interact with people. Be present. Be present. Be present. Learn to be present. Learn to be present. It makes a big difference. You'll find every interaction. There are so many examples I can share with you. So many examples. I will not forget when I was a headmaster of one school, right? A headmaster. One man, you can sit this, right? One man is a very busy guy, this guy, right? He's involved in the community, right? He comes there to the school and he comes to me. He says, you know what? I was thinking about you. I just came here to convey my salams to you. And I started crying. I could feel his sincerity. I could feel his warmth. I said, Allah bless you. Allah look after you. You can feel it. You can feel it. We are so discerning. Even if someone is speaking to you over the phone, you know whether they're paying attention to the call or not. You ask, what are you busy with? Yes or no? You understand? Right? How we respond to people. How we engage with people. Learning the art of communication. You know, we are not taskmasters. This is your family. This is a family. Your family that will cry for you that when you die. There's a family who will pray for you. A family that will miss you, inshallah. A family. This is your family. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what I want you to do as an exercise, I want you to please start doing that. You got to live, you got to be mindful. You got to be mindful. You got to be mindful. Right? Right. And you know what? And we need to learn that. We need to become more disciplined. We go to bed suffering for other people's inadequacies whilst they are perhaps snoring somewhere. You understand? You got to be conscious and keep on. And part of communication is showing gratitude to Allah. And how you communicate to Allah also. As a family, thank Allah. Thank Allah. And you cannot thank Allah enough for all the bounties He has given you. You understand? I cannot thank Allah enough. In fact, I feel as if I'm a Malaysian. Some of you are looking very upset about it. Okay, I've just changed my mind then. Right. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to do that. You understand what I've said to you? Right? You say something and your spouse listens. Right? Listens. Right? And respond to what you have said first. It's one thing when someone says something nice to you. But it's also very important how you respond to it. It mustn't be, he says, you know what? Oh, if I tell this to my wife here, she'll put me off. Right? Now you got to ask, you know, this is a very important thing, right? Before I forget this also, right? Sometimes you say that my spouse doesn't tell me everything. Doesn't tell me everything. You got to ask yourself why. Why? Was there a time in the marital life when he shared something and instead of you responding with empathy and understanding, you ended off reprimanding him? Do you know, I know of people, they visit their own mother and father behind the back of their wife. Can you believe it? Because that wife gets agitated. You understand? So I think it's very important when the Quran says, save yourself and your family from the fire of hell. You know, if you have a husband or a wife that is doing great things, showing filial gratitude, showing love to the parents, you must thank Allah for that. You understand? So I'm giving you all about 5 minutes, right? Are you ready for that? Right? Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Right? Do you know what to do? All of you know? Right? All of you know? If you're sitting alone, speak to your multiple personalities. Right? If you're sitting, If you're sitting alone, speak to your, you know what I mean, split personality. I want you to do that. Start to do that. Because this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was present. He was present. Okay. Right. Bismillah, do that. Come on. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry to disturb you. It's so authentic. I can see it. It's too authentic. Are you done? No? Okay. Right. Let's see. See, I need volunteers, right? Which two individuals want to share the experience? And if you found something different in it. How many of you found something different? No one. I think I need to come for remedial classes here. Now tell me, I want to know, how many of you found there was something different? If you did it properly, would have been different. If you did it properly, it would have been different. You understand what I'm saying to you? Right? If you say now, oh, it's raining. I mean, this is a mundane topic, right? You're not going to get moved. He says, yes, you sure, darling. Rain. You understand, right? But anyway, I would like, there must be someone, could be anyone, mother, child, it could be a couple, it could be friends, whatever, who would like to share the experience now. Please, and you know the reason why I wanted to share the experience is so that you inspire other people. It's not that, you know, is that your husband? Yeah, I could see she's looking at you so much of love, you know. Yeah. When last year he told you he loves you? How many years ago? Anyway, you tell her. Tell her, I love you, darling. Oh, there's it. That's so nice. So nice. You cannot say enough of these things, right? So anyway, I really hope and pray. I've got a few more points here. It's pray that, inshallah, that you learn to connect, you see. You've got to help each other to connect. Help. Sometimes, you know, they say, we do not see the world as it is, but as we are. We are products of life experiences. You know what I'm saying to you? You might have grown up in a home where your parents never showed that love. Maybe showed in different ways. But the expression of love is a very critical thing. The articulation of it. You might have grown up at home where these things were not shared. You know what I'm saying? You never experienced it. You never got that particular kind of love. We need to understand that. Have that particular perspective. Try to understand your partner. Let them also try to understand you. Okay? Because remember this, if you do not express or communicate with your partner, sadly, the only time you're going to communicate is with the tears of regret when they're gone. I always say, and I've said this before, it's better to give a person, a living person, a rose than laying a wreath on the grave. Tears of regret. Every day. Tears. Uncontrollable tears. I recall this very, very emotional funeral, as it were. One of my friends phoned me. He said to me, Idris, my ex-wife has passed away. I want you to give her dignity. I want you to be there. So, in that, at midnight, we buried her. There were only six of us there. Midnight. Her biological son was there, about 21, 22 years old. He worked so hard in filling the grave, crying, filling the grave. And the thought struck me. Is he saying, Ya Allah, I was not there when my mother was around. But I'm here now. I pray, inshallah, that my hard work, inshallah, would redeem me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it's a fundamental thing that for you, for each one of us to have a true perspective about things. True perspective. Right? You know, they speak about post-operative pain. 48 hours. I went for many operations. And every time I had the post-operative pain, I said I felt better before the operation. Because I don't see the bigger picture, you see. And then you heal. You know, you thank Allah for that. Right? So I pray, inshallah, that in our homes, you know, we sort things out, right? What I did, you know, for this talk, I prepared like an acronym, which I want to share with you, with the words communicate, right? The first C, I said, that when you communicate, it must come with care and with love. You understand? Caring and with love, the C. The O, there has to be open communication. Okay? Where you're able to speak about subjects freely and openly. There's nothing to hide between two of us. There's nothing to hide between two of us. If you can do that, it's magic. The M. The M. See, the child knows how to communicate. One little cry, my daddy will give me a hug. Right, right. The M is you got to be malleable. In a sense, you got to be changing. You got to be able to adapt to situations. You understand? The M, right? I forgot the other M. Right, right. And, okay. The other M is you got to be mindful. That means you got to be present. You got to know what you are saying. Measure your words. Even if you want to be critical with love. Don't start off like this. Baby, I want to see you. You understand? Right? You got to be mindful. Right? Then, you got to understand the other. You must understand the person. You got to understand the other. Understand their emotions. Understand the capacity. Understand them. And accordingly, you say whatever you want to say. Understand the other. If you know, for example, some information might stress my spouse at this particular time, I'll find an appropriate time to tell her or him. The timing is important. Many people say, I'm glad I told him I feel much better. But you destroyed everyone else around you. You understand? Yes, it's important that you need to say whatever you have to say, but the timing is very important. Very, very critical. Right? You know, I really believe, and I believe this fervently, if no one prays for me except my wife, inshallah, I'll get Jannah. Because she has ample testimony if I was good or if I was bad. If she prays for me, prays for my forgiveness, and she says, Ya Allah, forgive him. He never hurt me. Whatever it is, I hope so. You know what I'm saying to you? That's it. That's it. That's what I'm saying. The home is critical. Right? If you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his beloved wife, there are so many stories to say. You know, the one story that I often like to talk about is one night when he was going to get up for Qiyamul Layl. Bibi Aisha says, I was lying so close to him and I was enjoying my closeness to him. With whom? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the highest of Allah's creation. Who is saying? Hey, one of the most beautiful creations of Allah, Bibi Aisha, a scholar of note. So he asked her, do you mind if I get up to read my Qiyamul Layl? He asked her, do you mind? What was he going to do? He didn't say, do you mind I'm going to play golf with someone? No, I'm just saying, do you mind if I do that? And what did she say? As much as I like your closeness to me, I also like what you like. How beautiful is that? Eh? How beautiful. Eh? The other experience that we cannot speak enough of, the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got the first revelation. It was a surrealistic experience, right? Hey, who did he run to? Bibi Khadija. What did she do? She affirmed him. Hey, she said, you're a good person. You care for people. Hey, she went beyond that also. What did she do? Hey, she confirmed through other people that experience was a divine experience. It wasn't sorcery or whatever. You know what I'm saying to you? That seems confirmation, right? Affirmation. Right. So the idea of understanding the other. The N, your communication must be nurturing, right? Caring. It mustn't be, for example, harsh words. I hope there are no profanities between you and your spouse. You know what? When I talk to anyone, if someone is vulgar or profane to me, I say, hey, brother or sister, I've never been where you come from. I'm sorry, my conversation is over with you. Finish. Right? The I, inspiring confidence in the other. So in other words, whenever you and your spouse speak, you feel a sense of inspiration. You feel good. You feel affirmed. You feel acknowledged. Right? You feel appreciated. You understand? Also, the purpose of communication is to connect with each other, to bring you close together. Eh? To bring you close together. That's important, right? Next one. And when you are communicating, someone is communicating to you, you must be attentive. Stop everything you are doing, right? Naturally, the timing is also important, right? But it's important when you're communicating, stop everything, you be attentive. Also, the purpose of communication is to trust building, to build up trust. And lastly, the E of communicate is you need to build up empathy and understanding. That your communication must be non-judgmental, right? Okay, right. I want to just end off quickly with two more points, and I'd rather take questions. It's such a broad topic. I hope I touched some practical aspects. Was it okay? Right? Do you think it was wonderful? You must hear the right word. Do you think it was brilliant? You think it's magnificent? There we are. Magnificent. That's it. So when you're articulating your love, tell your wife, you are simply magnificent. You are beautiful. You're not superfluous, you know. Your pulchrinous beauty surpasses anything the eye or the mind can imagine. Right? Okay. The last two things, very quickly, remember this. If your self-esteem is low, if you got low self-esteem, then you are suspicious. If your husband tells you, hey, darling, how's it? I like it. Right? She said, well, why is he saying this? You know what I mean? You are suspicious. So it's very, very important to develop your own self-esteem. Find out why is it is low. Right? Self-esteem is very important. Self-esteem is to recognize your own uniqueness. Right? Understand that. Because in life, if you got high self-esteem, you only take responsibility for things that are under your control. If you got low self-esteem, you're going to speculate. You cannot effect change or embrace change. You cannot have a vision. You have what you call a blame syndrome, blaming everyone. Okay? So, right, that's one. There, you know, it reminds me, you know, it doesn't remind me, I think it's okay, I'll say it. There was this, one person went to a doctor, Siddiq, he went to a doctor. Went to a doctor. So the doctor told him, you know, so what's your problem? He said, no, your problem is hereditary. He said, okay, if it's hereditary, then send the account to my grandfather. I'm not going to pay. It's his fault. Right. But the most important thing, that true, besides, I'm assuming you know, taqwa is the most critical thing, is the whole issue of emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. If you can develop that, emotional intelligence is about being smart about your emotions, knowing what you are experiencing, monitoring it, self-regulating it. Also understanding the impact on other people, right? When you have a high EQ, you are positive. You can motivate others. You can motivate yourself. You are present. You lead a balanced life. You experience anger, but you know how to express it. You experience joy, you know how to express the joy. You need to say something, you say it. You get the timing right. When you got a high EQ, when you and your spouse has a problem, you never say, I don't know why I married you. You don't suffer from emotional meltdown. What you do, you say, I'm happily married, but my husband and I have an issue which we need to resolve. That's important, right? It's a very, very important aspect, EQ. Right? EQ. Right? You understand? Okay? Inna Allah malaikatu yasalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallim wa taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina mubarak wa sallim. Ya Allah, bless all those individuals that are here and those that have been listening. And bless every home. Our homes today, Ya Allah, are no more the sanctuaries of the past. It's a place of contestation and struggle, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the strength to forgive because you are of forgiving, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us, help the couples to reconnect with each other, to connect with our hearts, Ya Allah. Let the homes be a place of inspiration where the spouses are reminded to each other about why we are born, what is our purpose, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us study the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most beloved creation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that are contemplating marriage, Ya Allah, let them find the right partners, Ya Allah, and let them also be the right partners, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the time of instant gratification, people are finding very, very difficult, Ya Allah, to cope with little struggles, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, today the Ummah is bleeding, the Ummah is in pain globally, Ya Allah. Our homes, and I would say this from my experience, 70% of the homes have got some kind of issues, Ya Allah. Let those issues not be the reason for separation. Ya Allah, let those issues be help us to resolve, to strengthen, and to really celebrate this wonderful institution of marriage, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless the individuals that are doing these programs everywhere, the people involved here in Malaysia and everywhere else, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, like the Sahaba, when they learned anything from the Mubarak lips of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that information led to transformation. It wasn't something theoretical in the vortex of the mind, Ya Allah. They shared it with others. The best way of learning is to teach others, Ya Allah. I pray for the individual sitting here, Ya Allah, even though they are in pain, Ya Allah, even though they are in pain, Ya Allah. Even though they are in pain, Ya Allah. You are not blind to them, Ya Allah. You are listening to them, Ya Allah. Their reward is only going to be in the year after, Ya Allah. There are many homes, Ya Allah, where there is so much of struggle. Father, son, father, daughter, husband and wife, Ya Allah. It's a battlefield, Ya Allah. And kids are growing up and they're saying, Ya Allah, why was I born in this home, Ya Allah? When others speak about the happy mother and father, why can I not speak about that, Ya Allah? But Ya Allah, I believe no one is incorrigible, Ya Allah. You say until our dying moments, Ya Allah, you are there to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put in our hearts that we also have even an iota of that capacity, Ya Allah, because when we come to Ya Allah, we'll be coming with sins, Ya Allah. It's only through your mercy, Ya Allah, that we'll attain Jannah, Ya Allah. Bi fadli subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin.